We can start. Okay. First of all, I want to welcome everybody and wish everybody a happy new year. And I mean that sincerely. Last year was a tough year, and I think it's going to be tough for a couple of more months, but hopefully this year things will look up. I'm being optimistic. All right. So we have a quorum tonight. It's January 5th Town Council meeting. We have a full quorum. Steve is on Zoom. We have Gladys and Elizabeth and Jimmy and myself and both the clerks. And Judy's going to help me out until we get somebody to fill out. We've got all the stuff, which she's probably got a lot of room in her house right now. She brought all the stuff she's had over there forever. So bless her heart. But anyway, this town wouldn't be without Judy. Everything she's done is amazing. All right. So let's begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. If everybody will stand, take off your hat.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. First on the agenda, approving the agenda, Jimmy had wanted to change.
I'd like to make a motion, seeing how we got Daniel Holly on Zoom for us for the Jones in the Mill. I'd like to put him right underneath the conflict of interest. That way we can get him so he's not having to do the whole entire meeting.
Yeah, that's fine. Just moving the order. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think that's it. The one thing I want to bring up is that we didn't meet the minimum of the 24-hour requirement for notice on the PMV. And so, therefore, I think that we should say that we just do discussions tonight. I know people...
Well, we couldn't get into it. That's why.
Yeah. I don't think it matters who. It's not like a person or entity or any blame. But if we don't do it, I don't think legally we can vote on anything. And so the whole agenda needs to turn into discussions. And I think the only thing that whenever we have to talk about setting our annual meeting schedule, at the end of that discussion, we just need to agree on picking a time sometime in January to have a special meeting just to vote on that, because that's due to the state. I don't know. And I know that that's also something we can defer to Peg, you're doing the training on the open public meetings, but I believe, at least according to what I could find, that because we didn't have it on PMV and that's a requirement of 24 hours notice, that we can't legally vote on anything tonight, that we could have discussion. Judy, do you know?
Yeah, man,
there's the public meeting notice.
That is a requirement, yeah. I mean, that is fully a requirement, is to have the 24-hour notice. You did have it on the bulletin board. You did have it on the website, but it wasn't on PMN, and that's one of the requirements.
It's on PMN, though. It has to be on PMN.
Yeah,
and it has to be on the public meeting notice. And I know I at least got more than one email about it from people between 10 o'clock last night and 10 o'clock this morning that they couldn't find it.
Okay. Well,
and so if I had noticed, I would have said something, but I just wasn't really on it that one. But I just don't want us to get ourselves in trouble or make any decisions that then can get turned over. But we have a lot to talk about, and so we can at least make decisions. And then come February, they're just approving things or not, because it's just voting on it next month, but we can have all the discussions tonight.
So what about the approval for fire money?
I don't think we actually need to, but I could talk about that now, but I actually think that part of the money was already allocated to the fire. You called and asked me about it, and so I did some research on it. The money was already allocated, it's in their budget, and there's beautiful expenses. And so what we did in looking at the past 2 years, all we did was approve their check to the February meeting. And so there were three things that I was trying to figure out, like what would be detrimental if they didn't happen this month. And when it came down to it, it was just that one. The only other one, there was one that I thought of, but I realized it didn't matter. But yeah, the money I think is already allocated. And so I think that all we have to do is say, it's in your budget, use it as you want. There has been times that we've, you know, like, I think it's an appropriate time to thank the fire department for their service and everything else, yeah. and say, we appreciate it, we want to do this, but that's all we have to do. We've already allocated that in their budget and they have the funds for it. It's not us determining the money, right?
Okay. So the only thing that we don't do tonight is make motions and approve them, huh?
Yeah, and so we just have discussions on each thing. Like everything okay. that's on the agenda, we can discuss as it goes through, but we can't actually vote on anything, which is unfortunate. But, and again, it's not like a person is to blame. It's just, it happened. And, yeah. you know, but we have to follow the rules.
And we also, with putting out there for a new clerk, we... Peg is going to upload everything. So it's not a two-way street. Like one doesn't want to do one piece and one doesn't, you know, the other.
Yeah.
Peg said she'd upload everything till we got the new, when we got the new clerk up and running to make sure that everything yeah. was situated. So.
Yeah. And I mean, there's been a lot of change and stuff and we need to be okay with that. But one of the big parts of tonight is for us to train so we can improve and be kind of counterintuitive to break the rules. The meeting at the same time.
I agree. All right. So, where should we get back to the agenda?
Well, that I was just saying in the agenda, I think that we should change the entire agenda, just that everything's a discussion item and there's no approvals tonight.
Okay. Well,
that's my opinion of it.
All right. Well, then.
Should we assume that anybody has changes they want made to the November, December?
In December, let's and then that
say that at least they'll be all typed and all
yeah, ready to go, and then we can just approve them.
We can have thorough discussions, so the next one is, you know, quite efficient.
Okay. All right, so on the November meetings, did anybody see anything that needed to be changed? I didn't see anything. Like, but I knew our school teacher was so really good at
agenda then, or like as a...
It's just discussion.
Do we have to approve it? Or...
Well, let's do that.
They look fine to me. Lexi changed the one. It was just yeah, grammatical yeah. error. Just, you know.
But the agenda.
Oh, so, the agenda. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I still think Jimmy's recommendation of putting the Jones in the Mill up after, as soon as possible after the training is, where did you ask for, right?
Conflict of interest.
Yeah, sounds fine.
Yeah, I think
that
way,
that way we can get Daniel off the line.
Right. No, I think that makes sense.
Okay, so the November minutes, the discussion for the November minutes, and nobody had any changes. I didn't see anything on the November minutes. Lexi right. went back over them and did pretty good.
Back to improving. We saw them through the agenda. We're going to.
We can't appreciate
still go through and either say that we're just going to accept it as just as it's not, or you're going to.
I don't think you can actually accept it. I think we can just agree that we're going to move forward with discussion.
So then we don't need to do anything
yeah.
with it.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think awesome. We just move forward.
And we'll just move in that.
Okay.
So I don't know, but that's what I assume.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll just put a check on the November minutes then, stating that we didn't see anything else on that. And now the December minutes.
The December one, the only thing I saw that needed to be changed is on the dumpster tree hazard. It says it falls on the hydrant cost of the town. I want to be specific because the minimum cost that it's going to be $1,000. That's what the fire hydrant costs.
And Lexi said so to make sure because it was mentioned.
And that's bare minimum.
Yeah. Okay. Other than that,
that's fine with me.
Okay. And so then, the annual meeting, because we vote on that, we'll have to.
But we can discuss it and decide what we want, and so that because we're going to have a special meeting sometime in January, even if we just say Zoom and it's just for us to approve, because that is due to the state, correct?
Okay.
In January, correct, Judy? Yeah, I think that we at least have a discussion of when we want it, and then if we need to have.
Well, then we can zoom through
yeah.
that. Or so.
I mean, that'd be a moment.
I'm fine with the way it is now. First Thursday.
Yeah. Okay, me too, Helen. All right. Okay, public comments.
Okay, I think Blake.
Blake Spalding, owner of Health Backbone Grill and Farm. And so I'm circling back, and I'm kind of assuming that the park trail resolution thing is you guys going back because we tabled it earlier. And I want to go a little deeper on this, and I have some questions. And my first question is, how much, I was trying to do the research, Jen and I and Dave Mock, to figure out what you guys get from the resort tax. What is the town, what do we get? It's 1% plus 1%.
I'm gonna have to look that up. Do you remember, Steve?
It's most of your resort tax and lodging.
And it's that's 1%.
Well, it's most of your budget, let's put it out.
It's basically 2% is what I read of our sales goes. So that means that in last year, basically the budget, what just my restaurant, not the lodge, and Susan's gonna speak after me, but that we contributed $40,000 to the town through taxation last year. We also spent close to $900,000 on labor for people that work here at our restaurant. So that includes our tax contributions and everything, but that's a significant chunk. We are the largest employer. And I'm here to ask for you guys to help me find a solution for the parking. This resolution feels bad to me. I'm not accepting the idea that we're not going to be able to have people park out there.
That's not, can I just clear something real quick? The parking on there, parking completely off. So the state of Utah, UDOT doesn't want anybody to pull into the place and then back out into Highway 12. They don't want that. What we're doing is going in, putting the trail in, and then we'll put delineated posts right next to the trail, and then you can still have parallel parking going all the way along that whole entire, not stopping any of the parking. We're just making it to where there's an actual dedicated trail.
Okay.
So on the inside, the parking's not leaving, nothing like that. It's just making it to where people can actually walk on the inside, right next to the fence, going all the way down. You'll still have your parallel parking on the outside on both sides.
Well, that's great. So what I guess I would ask is my legal counsel needs to see the resolution before it gets voted on in the town. And I would have really appreciated being invited to talk about it before it got put to, you know, a vote. And I guess it's not getting voted on tonight, but it affects us.
Well, I can make you a copy and give it to you because it's just really
simple. It just says the resolution. All it says the resolution is that you're not, nobody's supposed to or not allowed parking on the trail itself. That's it.
Okay.
That's
and
it.
So Dave really wants to understand where the trail's going to be. And he was very generous offering to reimburse for gravel. Our understanding is that UDOT doesn't have a big difference about where it starts and ends. And our understanding is the town has committed a little bit of money to gravel, which we are more than happy to reimburse. We don't want it to be an obstacle for parking because basically liability wise for the town and for us, if people are parking, if they're not allowed to park there, they're gonna park somewhere. It's people with ATV trailers, horse trailers, RVs, pulling cars, people are gonna park there. And if we don't have a crosswalk or a stoplight or whatever, then it's people crossing the road. If we are making it hard for them to park, it's going to be problematic.
No, it won't be any harder to park there. It'll just be have a designated trail on the inside, almost right where exactly the trail is, maybe a foot closer to the fence. And then we'll just have, like I said, the delineated post right next to the, and then there'll be parking along the whole side of it. We're not removing any parking off of the thing. We're just making it safer for the pedestrians to actually get from the bird trail off to the park.
And that's, when does that like construction begin?
Not soon.
Okay.
So
but But I'll give you a copy of that resolution.
Yeah,
that's not
moving
a big deal.
Forward things that affect us, it would be really meaningful for us to be included or notified. You know, I assumed this was what it was about, and I sort of thought maybe they would attend to that event, but it does impact me. But they would have appreciated being contacted too. So then with that, then I guess there's no issue.
Okay. Well, and really the only reason we didn't is because all we were doing was making the trail safer and still allowing you to park.
Right.
We just didn't want people to pull up on the trail is all. And that's the only reason that we're doing this. So.
All right. Well,
so, I understand.
Yeah. Because when I was here last, the basic, my takeaway was that there was to be no parking there, then that's what I was assuming we were voting on making it impossible to park.
No.
I'm grateful to hear and really sincerely grateful that you guys have found a solution, because I do think, you know, the unintended consequences would be problematic for, you know, not just for our business. We need people to be able to park and come and eat, and our employees need that and so forth, but also just for them to have safety.
That's what it's, and we also need people to be able to walk along without having to go out into Highway 12 and walk behind the vehicles.
Yeah, so Dave was willing to move the trail inside the fence and have it connect that way, you know, on the grass, and be like, make a little gate of entry where people could come in and out. But I guess we won't need to do that now.
I think if we get it up close to the fence, we ought to be good.
Okay, you know? Well, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Appreciate it. So probably you don't need that.
Yeah. Like, you can go ahead and take this one that I've got. So we can vote on it tonight.
So I'll have the copy of it. Thank you.
You betcha.
See, short and sweet.
It's also on the website now. It was, I believe it was added sometime this afternoon.
Back to the website.
The resolution that caught the draft resolution that you just gave, it's now on the website as of sometime this afternoon.
Yeah, it was.
On tonight's meeting.
Well, I was waiting
just
for
anyone else that wants it.
Yeah, and I was waiting for the attorney to, he didn't okay it until the last minute. So, and he's on the.
And I would say,
what's the unlawful to park part? Where is that?
Do what? No.
It says that it now, therefore, it's hereby resolved that it's unlawful to park on the trail west of the Boulder Park from itself to the Word Trail.
Right, on the actual trail itself, when we actually get it done.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, and Blake, I would say if you want to know exactly where that is, just get with Jimmy and have him show you. Okay, this is.
I'd be more than happy to come down and show you exactly where they plan on putting it. So.
That'd be great. Dave will probably want to see.
Yeah, no problem.
That'd be really nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good job.
That's it. All right. Did we have any more public comments? How about on Zoom? Anybody got their hand up?
No. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. My mic wasn't working last time, but okay. I don't see anyone with their hand raised on Zoom.
Okay, Peg. Next is the open meeting training on the agenda.
Did Jimmy want to move up the?
Oh, yeah.
We can move him where?
Yeah, he said it after you, but if you're willing to let him go first, I'm sure he'd appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Let him go first. I'm going to play a couple of open meetings video and the ethics training, both of which are about 7 minutes long.
Okay.
So why don't you let that other guy go first?
Hey, Daniel, are you ready?
I am on.
Thank you for showing up.
You bet.
So the idea of adopting Jones and Danielle as Boulder Town's engineers. And since we're just discussing, I'm going to read, Steve had a question, and he said, what if they are the engineers hired by someone else to do a project in town, and their work needs to be checked? And would they have to turn down other work in town because of conflict of interest? So you can answer that for us. And
is you want me to go, Jimmy?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So, and we've, and once again, I appreciate you guys having me on, and I apologize. I can't turn my camera on. My right when I started the message saying my video driver failed, it wouldn't turn it off. So, you just got my name on the screen, but appreciate you hearing us out for a minute. But as far as that question goes, Jimmy had texted that as well. That was a question. We've seen that in other towns that we've worked for. There's multiple ways that we can work with that. And I don't, we would have to turn down work, or, I mean, we can still help people throughout the town, but one thing that we've done on other, in other areas is we can, have a third party, engineer or someone else that we can coordinate with, or temp could coordinate with if there was an issue like that, where we were doing work for someone else, but it was going to need to be checked by the town. We could get another engineer to actually look through that and provide that directly through the town itself. The other option is that we would just be limited to just work for the town, and that other work would need to fall under another. So there's two ways to handle it, and we've seen it both ways in different towns. But it's kind of up to you guys on what you feel most comfortable with. It might be more of a question even for your attorney to weigh in on as well.
Okay, that's good. And we can do that. The only reason that we were looking at this is there are not that many engineers around. Jones and DeMille does a lot of work for, they have done for us previously, and also for the water company. They're closer, and our ordinances talk about town, our town engineer. So that's the reason we're bringing this up for discussion. Does anybody else have any comments on the council?
No, I think it would be pretty smart to get Johnson Mill to actually do it. That way we're covering our stuff.
Are we doing everything for this discussion point now, or are we still talking
just the
about
join this? The Jones and DeMille thing, so that he could go first.
I would say let's have our attorney weigh in on this, see okay. what he thinks, because there will be times when, because the water company does use yeah. Jones and DeMille, mm-hmm. there'll be, you know what I mean, yeah. have our attorney.
Yeah.
Maybe and that's what I would say, is that because we use them so frequently, from my point of view of looking at it, it seems like it's not a problem right now. And the way it has been worded, and according to the whatever that ordinance was, Utah code, that a appointed or approved town, like if we almost always exclusively choose Jones DeMille, then it, what difference does it make, and why is it that we have to claim them, so that way later there could potentially be a conflict? And I don't see one now, and so it's like when we need an engineer, we hire the engineer that we have, and we almost exclusively, for as long as I can remember, have been using them, so that seems to be working. But I agree with Gladys that getting the attorney to weigh in on it, but I just don't see the need to do it. And I guess there might be one, and I just don't see it or understand it yet.
In some of our ordinances, we have places in there that says the only way that you can do this is if approved by the town engineer.
Yeah.
And we don't have an actual town engineer listed. And so that's
but at least my understanding of Utah code is that if we don't have one, it's just whoever we assign that job. Is that not correct?
That's the way
that's, yeah. So it being written, the town a town engineer, it can be any engineer that we choose at that time. And according to whatever this Utah Municipal Code, Chapter 7, Part 13, going on to 10-7-86, my understanding of reading that code is that wording is covered by whatever engineer we choose at that time.
And it so it can... Town board that would choose.
Yeah, and it also keeps it open for this town council and future town councils. And when the planning commission needs to do one, they're all whoever we decide, who's ever on right then, and that we don't need to change in any of the ordinances or adapt one that is exclusive, right? Because it then prevents other people in town from, you wouldn't want to do something that because they're ours, someone in town can't use it or the water company can't use them. You know, that's, I just don't see that it's a necessary step at this time.
Okay, well, we'll check with the attorney too and take it from there.
Steve, I know you're on Zoom, but you know you should speak up whenever you want to talk. I won't put you on the spot, though.
I will do so.
Okay.
Sounds pretty good for...
I was going to say, you sound pretty good for broke guys.
You know, I last night, I think I'm starting to turn a corner, so...
Well, you sound good.
And, well, thank you. I wished I sounded good all the time.
All right, moving along now.
All right, thanks, Daniel. We'll get a hold of the attorney, and then I'll give you a caller.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Peg, you ready?
I'm ready. So I've queued up the video for Open Public Meetings Act, two little videos. And these are, in fact, this, taken off the training.auditor.utah.gov site that you will all be using anyway to go through your certification training. So you will see this again, but the next time you see it, when you've logged in for yourself, you'll have a little quiz that you have to go through. So this is like an intro for you town council people. I'll play the same for Planning Commission next week. And for the public as well, it's good for everybody to understand open public meetings law. So
I like too that you put on the link of the agenda so that way anyone in town can have access to it. I thought that was helpful.
I will.
No, you did. So I say thank you.
Oh, okay. Can you hear it?
Nope.
We don't hear or see anything. Not yet, at least.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. I'm going to start over because I didn't share my screen. Hold on. Yeah, it's been a long time, right? Okay. Zoom meeting. View. Okay, so I am going to share that screen. Okay, so you should start seeing something here. Okay. Can you hear it?
Yes.
Not here. We lost the sound, Peg. And the closed captions are too low.
Fast. And fast.
Yeah.
It's like I'm a speed reader and I can't even read that.
Kind of.
Wait a minute. I can slow it down. So tell me, you can't hear anything?
No, we can't hear anything.
I'm going to slow down the playback speed. Why can't you hear anything?
It's the snow.
I have the sound theoretically turned way up. Playback down a little bit. Let me start this thing. Can you hear anything?
No.
Yeah.
Can you read it?
Kind of.
No.
Okay. So my video is not going to work so well.
Can Lexi play it from in this room?
I'm sorry?
Can Lexi play it from this room and share her screen?
Yeah, let's try that. If she can get into that, let me stop my share. And
Where did he say the link was posted?
It was in the, it had the agenda. It was a link in the agenda. But it's right here. It's training.auditor.gov.
You're gonna run into a problem because you'll have to log into the. Okay.
Yeah.
How about this idea? I'm gonna play it and talk my way through to you guys.
Sounds good.
Okay. I should be able to do my own video anyway at this point, so let me give this a go. I'm gonna run it, and maybe you'll see it, but I'm gonna kind of try to talk the way through if you're not hearing anything. Okay.
For me.
Okay.
Plus, we all have to watch it anyway when we take our kids.
You will. I was just hoping for the benefit of the public that they'd be able to see it, but so much for my capabilities here. Okay. So anyway, this is a necessary thing that happens annually. All public bodies in the state of Utah have to be trained on Open Public Meetings Act. And it is something that applies to everybody, including like any kind of a public body. Like actually, I'm thinking that when the park board meets, they probably are subject to the same things because they are, you know, an appointed body that's spending public money and so on and so forth. Anyway, it's a required thing that happens. And am I still screen sharing? Yeah, okay. So, this is going to be difficult, I guess, for me to talk about all this stuff. Okay, so this is an overview video. Exceptions do exist. We have a few items in our own code, especially regarding notification, that is more strict than state law. So this is state code, but it can be modified to be made more strict for individual public bodies. Okay, one thing that's interesting, simple majority, he starts talking about quorum here in just a second. And anytime that the body gathers, it's considered an open meeting. It has to be noticed and it has to be recorded and minutes kept. So that's one thing that you ran into tonight. Let me pause this for a second. It's one thing that you ran into tonight when the full notification requirements, according to state code, were not met by not having it posted on public meeting notice board for 24 hours in advance of the meeting. So that's what happened tonight. He's talking about public hearing here, where this is a different type of an open meeting whereby the public is explicitly allowed to comment on certain, whatever the topic is that's been noticed. So in state code, it says 7 days for a hearing notice to be put up. Our ordinance in Boulder requires 10 days. So you'll receive a 10-day notice when anytime there's a public hearing. And typically a public hearing is for these reasons, adopting a budget, increasing taxes, transferring money. It also applies to any kind of a land use, such as approval of a zoning ordinance or a conditional use permit. So those are when you'd have a public hearing. Hearing as opposed to just a meeting. It happens within a public meeting, but a public hearing is part of a specific and special part of a public meeting. Okay, so that's public hearings. And electronic meetings are okay. There is an ordinance required that specifies the acceptance of doing an electronic meeting, which we do have in place in Boulder. So that's taken care of. Emergency meeting can be held for special and extreme circumstances, urgent matters, with the attempt to get as much notice out to the public as possible and notifying all the members of the board as to the time and place and what has to be resolved. So these are emergency meetings only, very specific. Closed meeting. That's what I think I have in the past mistakenly called an executive session, but a closed meeting, again, is part of an open meeting. You go in, you guys would go into a closed meeting from a public meeting, and you are allowed to do it to discuss any of the following: a person's character, competence, or health, collective bargaining, litigation, certain real property transactions, including any form of water right or water shares with specific restrictions, security personnel devices or systems deployment, investigations of criminal misconduct, and private or protected information per Utah procurement code. So these are explicit reasons why you would go into a closed meeting. In order to go into closed meeting, you're in an open meeting already. There has to be two-thirds of your quorum, two-thirds of your body present who has to approve going into a closed meeting. And look at the little math lesson that they show you here. It also has to have been on the agenda that you are planning to go into public meeting, or excuse me, closed meeting. So two-thirds of your body is required. That's 66.7%. So if you have a five-person body, which you do, then you need actually four people to approve going into a closed meeting. Okay, that was fun. Okay, so that's going into a closed meeting. You take a vote, test that the minutes actually need to capture who voted to go into closed meeting. It discusses here what is not allowed to be actually covered in a closed meeting. Okay. And closed meeting, there, with the exception of when you're talking about filling a appointed position, and you're talking about like what you did for planning commissioners and you discussed individuals, those, as I recall what this is saying here, this is you take notes, and I think you have to record it, but you don't have to take minutes, or I may have that backwards. But anyway, there's a couple of circumstances in this video that says what you don't have to take minutes for. Other than that, well, Judy, you will see what your requirements are, because when you go into closed meeting, you do have to make note of who's in there, when you started, when you stopped, what you discussed, and then you take your vote coming back into open meeting. So that's the important thing. You can discuss these special topics, but you take your vote in public, back in the public meeting. Okay, so, and you have much more reason to use closed meetings than the Planning Commission, which basically never does, so. So the minutes will discuss what the substance was, who was in the closed meeting, and the voice vote of going into it. This will be part of your quiz later on. Okay, closed meetings. Yada yada. Okay. Notice requirements. Regular and open public meetings require 24-hour notice. Includes the meeting agenda, the date, the time, and the place of the meeting. And reasonably specific items on the agenda, so it's pretty clear to anyone reading it what exactly you're talking about. You cannot consider an item on the agenda. Wait, let me say that again. Unless it's been on the agenda, you can't consider something for a vote. Wait, I missed that one little part. Okay, I just backed up here if you didn't see. Reasonably specified topics, okay. If a new topic is introduced, say by a member of the public, you can talk about it, but again, you can't make a vote, take a vote, make any kind of a decision. You have to come back with an agenda topic, which would, in our case, usually be the next month. But you can discuss it. And sometimes people, this is the thing about the annual notice, that you have to come back and decide what your year schedule of regular meetings are going to be. That's published every year, made available on PMN. And the newspaper posting at this point is not as much of a deal as it used to be, but we always post on our website. It has to be posted on This Is Public Meeting Notice website, and it's on the bulletin board outside physically. And I try to get it on pegboard when I can. Okay, so that's notice of meetings. And by the way, this particular open meetings thing is available without a login. Members of the public can get into this from the link. So, okay, minutes and recordings. This is talking about what clerk's job is and what's to be included in the minutes. The minutes need to be made available to the public. Once they're approved, they need to be made available to the public within 30 days of approval. And the minutes and the recordings need to be available to the public 3 days following the meeting. And I'm seeing right now that the way I've been doing minutes, I tend to not call the individual's names in, so I need to do differently there. Okay, recording is unedited of all open portions of the meeting. So sometimes, at least in the Planning Commission, we have much longer meetings typically than you guys in town council do, and they have to take a break. And I will stop the recording while people are on break, but the chair always makes a point of saying we're going to the restroom now, and we'll be back in 5 minutes. And then when we start again, he makes a point of saying that we're back in session and we've started. So I try to edit out those things. Plus I edit the beginning and the end of the recordings where there's all the chit chat and hubbub before the meeting's actually started or after it's ended. But there's no editing that can take place during the middle of a meeting period. And anyone can record this. If you want to come in and record the meeting, you're allowed to, as long as you don't interfere with or disrupt the actual meeting itself. When we post minutes, it has to be clear that it's draft versus approved. You can do that well. And we're also trying to get the meetings all codified, at least for the last few years. part of the codification. Minutes and recordings are open public records. He says grandma there like grandma, but it's G-R-A-M-A, the government.
That's access and management.
Thank you.
He's kind of his grandma.
Yeah, grandma usually doesn't care about. Okay. That's okay. Okay. This is pretty much it. Lexi and I have always been posting the minutes on our town website, boulder.utah.gov. But I think that if it's they're not on PMN, the public meeting notice board, they give you a place to indicate where, where you can find that. Okay, so I have one more video that has to do with the ethics. Do you want me to continue on, or is this too?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, hold on a sec. Let me get there.
While she's getting there, I put on the agenda, it's training.auditor.utah.gov, and a certificate is required.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, my question was why Peg gets that ready. When do we have to have the certificate submitted to you all, or
I don't know.
Is there a date or that?
It doesn't really say, but I'd say like in a month, you know, okay. From one meeting to the next.
So between now and our next meeting, yeah. I'd like everybody to, that's yeah. What I just wanted to say.
I think that's kind of way, Steve, what we did before. Yeah. We just had it about a month.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Are you seeing and hearing this? You can see it. She's basically saying, to me at least, that this is not comprehensive, that there are a lot of nuances. And to get into state code to see the specifics or talk to the town attorney. Okay, in this part, we're talking about ethics and the business about choosing to abstain and that generally that third bullet down is generally nothing would prevent an individual from choosing to abstain from a vote or discussion. However, in the second bullet, generally ethics laws do not require a public official or employee to abstain from a vote or discussion where real perceived conflict may exist. It's important instead that the person indicate what their potential conflict of interest is. It has to be made obvious and noted, but they don't necessarily have to abstain. Okay, that's what that was. Okay, hopefully you can read this one okay, about defining potential conflict of interest. It's kind of nebulous and it's left a lot to judgment. But in any case where someone thinks that there may be a perceived conflict or there's already a stated concern about conflict, then the individual needs to either abstain or fully disclose what their specific interest is in a matter that's before your body. I'm going to try to hurry this up a little bit if I have too many things on my screen to see here.
This one's available at those same trainings.
Yeah, it's all
the online training portal that we have access to.
Yes, this is all in the training portal. I skipped in. There's several. You've got things dealing with budgeting and fees and different kind of modules. I skipped down and picked out the ethics ones just because you need to have a yearly ethics conflict of interest training as well. So. That's why I included this in here. But I'm seeing my video moving along, but I'm not seeing the screen move appropriately. So, okay, these are the kinds of things that they're talking about with conflict of interest, personal investment, business investment. Here you get into the business about you can't accept a gift, exceptions, non-monetary gifts valued at less than $50, okay. Publicly presented award, okay. A political campaign contribution you can accept. And a bona fide loan made in the ordinary course of business. But in general, acceptance of gifts is forbidden for all forms of government official. And then these are things allowed with proper disclosure. So if you are in fact assisting with a transaction, like people in Boulder wear a lot of different hats, sometimes it's feasible you might be on a public body and yet you are helping with a transaction, you are working to consult with someone on their subdivision, you know, there's reasons why you might be wearing different hats. But the important thing is the disclosure. So you can do those things allowed with proper disclosure. Okay. You can have a business. A person who is an officer, agent, or employee of a business interest that the town deals with would certainly be a conflict of interest, but with proper disclosure, it's allowed. And then there are kind of severe penalties for being really bad if someone is perceived to be in conflict of interest and not doing anything about it, and it seems to be affecting the public body or a vote or things of that nature, there are penalties. So, okay, moving right along. Oh, did I skip something here? Now we're into the nepotism thing. Okay, so no public officer may employ, appoint, vote for, or recommend a relative for employment. And it names a list of what's considered relatives. And again, the law makes, I think, a lot of these rules are dealing with very large cities and towns, Boulder being what it is. Again, people wearing a lot of different hats. Sometimes it's impossible to completely avoid. I'm trying to move this along, sorry. Okay. We're really stuck on this. I don't know why the video isn't moving.
It might be that your streaming isn't cut up to where you are. You know, like it buffers and you might be trying to move faster than the internet.
And this is where you go into your evaluation part, but.
Well, okay. That's a snapshot of what you will have when you go and look at this. And I encourage members of the public to at least go in and look at the open meetings video itself. Gives you a snapshot of what's required. So, any questions?
No. Thank you.
Yep. Did good. Thanks, Peg.
Sorry about the, I don't know what happened. Okay.
That's the snow. Okay. Next, we've had problems with our email address. Come to find out, it's considered a private, the Boulder, Utah at SD Internet is considered a private email. So Peg was going to, at one time they had TC for town clerk at, what was it, Peg?
Boulder.utah.gov.
Yeah, and it's on the website, correct? Did you get that back up? Is that back up and running?
Yes, it is back. I had it up there for quite a while thinking that it was actually being used. And it turns out that anyone sending anything to that was going to La La Land because no one was checking it there. So it kind of fell back to Judy using her same Boulder, Utah, SEInternet.net address. And that happened for quite a while. And now it's officially changed back to TC, as in town clerk, at boulder.utah.gov. And if you send anything there, both Judy Drain and myself, and I think Lexi, I mean, we all have capability of getting into that to look at, but that's where any kind of official town business should go, if it's not to the zoning administrator or to me. But that we have those three addresses, TC at boulder.utah.gov, PC, which is my address at boulder.utah.gov, Planning Commission, and ZA, Zoning Administrator at boulder.utah.gov. Those are the three functioning official town addresses.
Yeah, and the nice thing about this TC, we talked to him. Peg and I got him on the phone. Well, Peg got him on the phone, and they told us that at least we have 10 gigabytes with InfoWest, where we only have the South Central, and they couldn't offer us any more. So that's another good reason to go. So we'll just have to start with the state and everyone else. We'll just have to put in the new email address so everything comes to that PC address. But I wanted to mention that so that we can get that up and make sure that's up and going. Did we ever figure the how to get into it though, Peg?
Yes.
Did we figure that out?
We did figure that out. And you guys, I'll remind you where, but you all have the password to it. So, okay. And it's you also in the office here too.
All right. Okay. I think when you and I talked earlier, we didn't know for sure. So, okay, that's cool. All right, we got that one out of the way. We transferred the auditor. We had to transfer money again from the general fund over to capital projects. And we transferred $100,000 over. We got the money from CARES and we got the money from the school crosswalks from UDOT. And so that's the reason for the higher amount. So I got hold of Polaris the other day and we got that transferred over. And the audit went well. We should be receiving the books real soon. He sent Judy an email maybe, 2 days ago, stating that they were putting the books together, so we'll have the books on the audit. I think for the most part, we did real well. So, and Gladys, thank you.
Thank you.
You really came through like a trooper. I appreciate it.
I just didn't have to go to the dentist.
Okay, and so the approval for the fire school money, we kind of really talked about that. So that's a done deal. Lexi, you want to give the amounts? The gas part of it went up.
Do you want to just say for anyone that came in late that we don't actually need to approve the money? I know we did say at the beginning, but I don't know.
I think everybody, John, were you here?
I met people on the...
On Zoom?
I don't know.
Anyway, we don't have to approve the money for the fire school. It's allocated in the budget. So, she's got all the chicks ready. She'll cut them loose tomorrow or the next day. I think Gladys just has to sign them, basically.
And then we just approved the checks at our February meeting.
Yeah. We'll approve the check at the February meeting. But the motel went down. The gas went up, so it's about averaged out from what it was before for the most part. All right. With replacing Judy and Lexi will be leaving us really soon, we have got to have a town clerk, and we are not going to find anyone for $15 an hour. So we have got to raise the salary for the town clerk. It's a huge job. And anybody that's been involved in any of it really, really knows. And boy, this last year has been an eye-opener for me. So, and I think Gladys got a hint of it when she did the audit, a little bit more than you see on the outside. Of course, she's got businesses, so she kind of knows that route. But I also think with Peg's job, the clerk's jobs, this town clerk job is big, and it's really what makes us function as a town council. Everything that happens in a town, she does so much work, and I'd like to see it raised significantly so that we can get somebody in here that will stay as a town clerk. Elizabeth and I kind of ran this back and forth, and she thought that we ought to take it up to at least $25 an hour with everything that the clerk does in order to get somebody to take the job and stay at the job.
How much does Escalante pay?
I don't know. I didn't check. But right now we're paying $30 an hour. We have been for 2 years. Clerk.
We have more than 2 years. It's been a long time because we had Michela. Before that, didn't we have someone? Wasn't someone else helping with filing? Yeah, I mean, that's what I think. We've been budgeting 30. I also think looking at the requirements, I think in addition to the online training. Is that me?
No.
I thought it was my voice echoing. I think that the clerk needs to do all those trainings, but I also think that I was looking online, and I do think Gladys makes a good point that we should see what comparable clerks are being paid. But there is a Utah Clerks Association that we could pay for the clerk to, I think there's fees to be a part of it and then pay for them for their time. But there are meetings and trainings with all clerks around, and I think that it would be to our benefit to make that as a requirement, so that way the clerk is the most trained and then passing that on to us. And hopefully, as Judy has shown us as such an example, it's the stable position in the town, and the town council and the mayor are the ones that are revolving in and out, right? And so I think that adding some additional requirements to have the clerk be trained and really competent in these areas. And so paying for that as well. Yeah. And I only just recently found that one. After you brought it up to me, I started, looking around and talking. And I know Steve had mentioned that was offered to Michela. And I don't necessarily think offering it. I think it's to our benefit to say it's a requirement.
I think it's a good idea. Absolutely.
My only problem is when we did the EMTs, they lasted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? it's nice hiring somebody and putting a lot of money to training them, but
yeah,
it's hard if, and I don't know how you get a guarantee.
Well, this might be a little different though. If you're paying somebody $25 an hour to actually do the work that they're supposed to be doing, instead of an EMT showing up at 2 o'clock in the morning and not getting home until 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a little bit different if we can actually find somebody that wants to do the job.
Well, and it's, you know, it is asking a lot. And, you know, like right now too, there's been so much transition recently in making sure someone comes in and is adequately trained and knows what they're, what, you know, what are the requirements and to hold things accountable, and that you're paying for them to do that. And there is a certain amount, you know, of experience and requirements that need to come in. But then also, you know, even if someone has a lot, like whether they can do accounting and minutes and all that, it's what is required of a town clerk is going to be different. And if someone hasn't had that job, they don't know. And things are updating and changing. And so having them part of something that they're interacting with other clerks across the state and are staying up with information, yeah, I think that's to our benefit.
I think that's an awesome item.
And maybe we less with, when we put the application out, we have an expectation that this will be a long-term job.
Yeah.
Maybe we say it long-term, we won't have to specify.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, as you write it up, you can do all sorts of, like, these are the requirements that we have of you coming in, that you have to have X, Y, and Z experience or ability to run digital things and, you know, whatever it is that we come up with. That, and then also what are requirements that once you're hired, these are, you know, the expectations. So it's clearly stated and it's not an unknown of what we expect of the job. And like Gladys said, is, you know, and maybe you say that it's a minimum of however long, you know, that we believe is acceptable. I mean, obviously, if someone's doing a horrible job and they're miserable, you don't really want them. You don't want to keep them just because they were hired.
Yeah. All right. Well, open up for discussion. We'll, when we have our special meeting, we'll vote on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that and the setting the annual meeting schedule are the only two things that are really time sensitive that need to a special meeting for, I think. But I don't know, maybe other things, but that was the only other one because the time, I don't know what the time frame is of how long Judy's helping with the transition, how long Lexi's here. I don't know if we need to like come up with a detailed job description and have it approved by everybody, if it includes the salary or pay scale of hourly rate.
Yeah, well, we've got to have that down because once they call, especially when they say everything is required, then, you know, we need to have something in place as far as salary. So
I will check out, see what Escalante here.
Yeah.
I'll see if maybe I can figure out somebody over
Wayne County Way. The general
somewhere, we'll see what they pay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you may want to contact the Clerks Association.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't look into like how much that costs, but we should look in when you do that, ask what it costs for our clerk to participate and get more information than I brought tonight.
And I was going to talk to the girl over at Escalante anyway, the clerk, Stephanie, because I wanted to get a good feel for some of the stuff that we don't really totally know. And Judy's trying to, I mean, a lot of this stuff pops up, they'll send notices and everything of what has to be done, but then there's other things that it's time sensitive. And but Polaris, I gotta tell you, they were absolutely awesome the other day. We got so much done, I felt so good. And they just, you are right, Steve. Those guys are amazing.
Polaris is the one that does the bookkeeping.
Yeah, all the bookkeeping. But I mean, they just, I had three different girls at three different times and every one of them were super. They were just awesome. And I really thanked them because we really appreciate it. But there's still some stuff where, you know, that we've got to find out. And I figured she'd probably know the girl that's coming in. So anyway, all right, well,
We'll do that and approve whatever we decide between now and the meeting, because it really is, we really do have to take care of that. So, all right, anything else on that particular subject?
Are there any other town jobs that need to be discussed that need to be? It says
no, and jobs. I want to be able to raise Peg's wage too. She's at 15 an hour and she has saved our bacon anytime. So I'd like to be able to, and she talked to me about it. She's telling me I don't expect the clerk's wage, you know, because she's so important to town clerk, but I think it's important.
And especially right now, she's been doing a lot of clerking for the town in addition to
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, she's really been great. So
do we pay her by the hour though?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's 15. I'd like to take her up to 18.
I say, isn't that what we pay the zoning person? Is 18?
18.
And what is Corey?
Corey's 18.
Yeah.
So,
and I would like to
Dean.
Take Dean up. He's only getting 12. It'd be nice if we could take him up a couple dollars an hour. You know, we got that great report. He does a good job at the landfill. Keeps it clean and stuff. You know, I mean, we've had a few issues, but the bottom line is he does a really good job over there. So think about those numbers and anything else? Steve, you got any input?
He's probably not
Johnson.
Steve.
Sorry. Steve Johnson.
A quick question, but it's probably best saved for the next meeting.
Okay. All right. The bird trail and has the trees on the bird trail. Constance sent me an email today because we didn't get a hold of them, and we should have really done that on that other tree over by the dumpsters. But the trees we're talking about now are on private property that is getting cut down, and the one on the corner is on UDOT property. So Jimmy, you wanna
so the one as soon as you turn on to the bird trail coming off of Highway 12, there's one on the right hand side right next to the steps going down to the old gas station. That's sitting right directly on top of our 10-inch mainline. That needs to come out like yesterday. And then the other ones, there is no other trees coming out. They're just getting trimmed right there along the side. The willows getting trimmed along the side of the bird trail. And then the big cottonwoods that sit right in front of Deborah's house, right in front of my parents' restaurant, those just need to get trimmed back off of the thing so they're not hanging over above the road so it can actually dry or unfreeze. So.
And so what? The next step is that you'll talk to the tree committee and then
Well, the trees that were took there, I don't think they're on the tree committee's things, they're all on private property. Yeah. Every one of them are all on private property, so
okay. And UDOT.
Yes.
And UDOT. So.
And the one that, yeah, like I said, the one that is coming down is sitting on top of the main line. So no matter what anybody says on it, it's coming out anyway.
Because, and I send her an email telling her that.
So. It sits right next to our valves.
Okay.
And so we'll vote on the money at our meeting.
Yeah, and I got two different. One was $4,000 to do the road, and the other one was $3,800.
Well, share them both. It'll be a hard decision.
Okay.
Yeah, just pass on all the information you have.
Okay.
And it'd be helpful for me if, like, when, I mean, obviously we're not voting on anything tonight, but if, like, even if you just distribute it among us, like a description of like this tree and kind of the general location. So then coming into it, I have more information.
All you got to do is drive down the road.
Yeah, yeah. But now, I know kind of where to even look. Yeah. I'm like, where on the bird trail?
Yeah, it's just as soon as you come off the Highway 12 going down to Lower Holden Road. It's just all that little trash stuff, all the willows, all the crap that's just hanging out inside the road.
Okay.
Do we want some definite answers about that tree over there?
I just asked Judy that today. So if the tree committee says that tree doesn't need to be taken down and that tree falls down on the fire hydrant over there, it's a minimum $6,000. And if it washes out the road and washes out anything else and becomes $8,000 to $12,000 or whatever money, does the tree committee pay for that, or does the town?
Why don't we recommend having a meeting of either some or all of the tree committee and at least one or two people from the town council and go and have these discussions and come to a conclusion?
Well, no, what I was asking is who's actually, if it does fall over, even if the tree committee says, and it ruins that fire hydrant and busts the land line, who's responsible for that if we're actually saying, hey, and so the town's going to be responsible for six to however much money.
Going to think then that the best next step is going to have a discussion with them and then bringing it back and like having them understand that point of view and then us and then even saying, okay, the tree committee might make this recommendation, but we can accept it or not. What
the decision is
here? Yeah, that's what I mean. And so bring it to them and give, you know, and then they can change their recommendation or not. We still get to make the ultimate choice, right?
Because I'm going
to
say the way I look at it is we're up here for the health, safety, and welfare of this town. And if the tree committee makes a decision on a tree that ultimately is going to cost the town a ton of money on there, then.
Yeah.
Where do we start and where do we stop it? Being like, okay, well, kind of like the trees on the Birch Road, they're a safety hazard. They're blocking the road. They're making it to where you have to drive out in the middle. That shouldn't be something that we have to like, okay, well, this is, we have to get these couple willows trimmed off the side of the, no, that's safety for the being of the roads. If there's anything in the roads, it's blocking the roads or making it to where people can't drive on there. I don't think it needs to go through the tree committee. I think it just, we need to take care of our safety issues on there. I can understand if the trees were inside the town park or down along the sides of the trails or anything like that. Awesome. But along the sides of the road, like A1 right now, the county just asked A1 to go all the way down Lower Boulder Road and trim the trees going all the way down Lower Boulder Road because it's smacking the hell out of the bus. So now the county has to go through the tree committee in order to actually make sure that the bus can actually get down the Bird Trail or the down Lower Boulder Road for trimming the trees on for the safety part of it.
I would suggest you read the street tree ordinance.
I did read that. And that's why I'm saying I don't think that it's right that the street is on there for the tree ordinance. I understand the park, anything like that, but when it comes to health, safety, and welfare of the town, I don't think we should leave it up to the tree committee that's an appointed official to say, no, you can't take out that tree, even though the tree's sitting right there in their way and it's actually a safety issue. That's where I'm at on it. It's safety.
Was it the word road that you had an issue with?
Yeah, on streets. The street part of it in there.
Yeah, it's section B that says, assist the town. It shall be the responsibility of the tree board to study, investigate, counsel, and assist with the development of a plan for the care, preservation, pruning, planting, replanting, removal, or disposition of trees in parks, along streets, or in other public areas. The tree board shall write and implement an annual work plan and submit an annual budget to qualify and be deemed a Tree City USA.
And see, the only part I have on there that's the problem is the streets. The streets shouldn't be up to the tree committee if we actually have trees sticking straight out in the middle of the road. Well, it shouldn't be up to a tree committee in order for us to be able to go in and safely cut off our stuff.
I feel like at this point, what we should do is request a meeting of the tree committee and have, you know, you and someone else or just you represent the town and go and have a discussion about these things. Because do we know what their stance is on these things? And so it's like, we're having a discussion, assuming they think one thing, but we don't.
Well, they said that the arborist said that tree was
here.
Yeah, it's the one over by the dumpsters, the one hanging.
I'm just saying, like,
and they did talk about that.
To me, that makes the most sense for the next step is to invite them to a table to have a discussion, and then if we don't agree with their recommendation, then we bring it up. And if you're saying that you don't like the way this is. Then that's a change of an ordinance. Right. So like they're two separate conversations to me. Right? At least if that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
No. And so I think that would be my recommendation as the next step is to invite them to have a discussion, whether it's all of them, like I don't know how it totally works if one person speaks for all of them and they've already met, or I don't know. And maybe even saying, like, we need the documentation from an arborist. Like, it's not just good to say we had someone look at it, but we need more information.
He's willing to take responsibility.
That's what I'm saying. But then who still takes responsibility if it actually falls over and breaks? The town has to come up with the funding on it if we've been warned over it. That's where I'm at. Like, if the town's been warned over something that we have a possibility of breaking a fire hydrant and disrupting a whole entire main line on there, and we don't do anything about it, then it goes on there. How the hell is that the town's responsibility if I've actually said, look, this is what's going to happen, and then we get turned down by an arborist saying, no, the tree's not going to fall down, and the tree does fall down, and it breaks, which I hope it doesn't, which I don't want to be in the mud. I'm just saying, like, if it does, though, how are we responsible for it if I'm actually bringing it to our attention saying, look, that tree is going to fall down. It keeps cracking every single year. The crack keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger over there. Yeah. And when it does fall, it's going to take out that fire hydrant. That's where I'm at on it. Like, the health, safety, and welfare of the town should be way ahead of any tree committee, way ahead of any tree committee. If it's going to cost the town $10,000 for a tree to comes down, come on. There needs to be a separation of right there for safety of the town or the tree committee. The tree committee, awesome. In the park, along like your trails, different stuff like that, or even inside the town hall area, clear up in here, great. Any of the stuff that goes along the streets, no, I think that's wrong. We need to change it because it's a safety issue. There shouldn't be any issues with safety.
So maybe that's where we need to start, is changing the ordinance.
Yep, I agree.
And maybe we needed a representative from the tree committee to be at our next meeting to address that tree there. I'm concerned about that, have been for several years.
Right. And I keep looking at it every time I go by, and it is getting bigger. Bark's starting to separate off the bottom part of it. It's got a bigger crack going up the side of it. You can see the new cracks in it. You can see where it gets the new wood inside it. So that's where I'm on the whole tree committee for the stuff. If it needs to be taken care of because it's a safety issue, like the trees on the Burr Trail, I don't think we need to go talk to a tree committee to make sure that our roads are actually safe. That's where I'm at up.
Yeah. And I hear what you're saying, but right now, the way it's current, the ordinance currently is.
And that's why we need to change the ordinance so we can actually do this. Because it's the only problem on the whole entire thing I have is the problem is on the streets. Everything else in there looks great.
So maybe we should schedule a public hearing to change it in February or March. But meanwhile, I'd like the tree committee to, you know, be aware of are they looking and watching that?
Right. And who's like it comes back to. So the town's still responsible and responsible for it if it does fall over. That's going to be a big bill, I promise you, because it's going to wash out the road and everything else.
Taxpayers.
Yep.
I think there's an advisory committee if you look at the
ordinance.
Yeah. That's the key word. Advisory. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So maybe that's what I say. We invite the representative to our meeting.
Yeah, that's a,
let
I think
them
they
know
just
our
need
concerns.
Included in the conversation,
and they can advise us, and then we'll make a decision.
So we'll put that on our business for February, and ask someone.
I think some of it needs to be discussed outside of that.
Constance.
Okay.
Do you want to leave that one up, Judy?
Do what?
Are you going to be the one that's contacting Constance? And...
No, Judy's going
to contact her. I'll go ahead of her and ask her to come to the February meeting so that we can talk about that tree.
Do you think it's worth having some conversation outside of the meeting so that way some of this can all be taken care of, so it's just either she or someone else reporting on it to us instead of the discussion being in the meeting? That's what I think. Something should happen between now and our next meeting, that someone from the town council is interacting with one of their representatives and let them meet and kind of do stuff, and then it not be in the meeting that we're sharing information.
All right.
That's what I mean, I just don't think it's a necessary use of our time or theirs. But just having a meeting outside of this and then coming back and reporting to us or sharing what was learned, and then, you know, they can make their recommendation, and you know, it is just a recommendation, then we make a decision.
I'll get with her. I'll get with her. Okay. So the resolution, we've kind of discussed that. Any more input on that?
Which one? Sorry.
Yes. Just the park trail resolution.
Oh, I guess I had some questions about it. And I think they're real similar to the questions I've asked before, but I guess I don't really know the big plan. And I know you explained it more now and I see it, but is there any way? Is there any way we can have like a plan for what's happening, like a draft or plan for the landscaping plan, so we can see what is
that's
happening?
What I'm trying to get done with UDOT. So UDOT wants us to fill out a landscaping agreement, which should have been done when the trail was put in.
Okay.
They want a landscaping agreement for that, saying that we're just going to keep maintain the trail and we're not going to let it get overgrown. We're not going to do anything stupid with it. We make sure that we have crash testable things in front of it. We can't have any rocks that are over 6 inches big, anything like that. That's the whole reason they want just the landscape agreement for it.
So the landscaping agreement is like the plan and the like the upkeep.
The land, yes.
For you. So in order to get to that, you have to have the resolution first.
We have to have the resolution saying that we don't allow parking on the trail.
Okay.
Because they're not going to give us a landscaping agreement if we're allowing parking on the middle of the trail.
Okay, that makes more sense, because for some reason in my head I had it that you would have to have the plan and kind of vision for it seen first before the resolution, not the other way around.
No, we had to have the resolution just saying that the town is actually looking to make sure that it's a safe place for them to walk. And so they just wanted us to make sure that we get that put in there before we start any of the paperwork or anything, because that way there's an actual ordinance or resolution stating what UDOT's actually helping us back up.
Okay.
So.
And then, because, you know, as far as like, even with all this public meeting stuff and like the public record and the trail of how, the public record trail of how did we get this resolution, right? Like what led us to it, right?
Well, when the town first made the park trail, what was it 2015? I think that's when we put in the same time we put in our water line. So when the town put in the trail in 2015, all of this should already been in place with UDOT.
Well, yeah, and I get that things should have happened, but are we now?
So the whole reason that we got to this right here is because we've had several different people complain that they had to walk out on Highway 12 in order to go around the cars and out there. A couple people almost got hit by the cars, and so brought to our attention that, hey, we needed to actually make it to where they couldn't park on the trail itself. And also when I met with Tracy Munson with UDOT, asked if any of the cars pull in this way into the lodge. You got the lodge fence, you pull in. So instead of parallel parking, the vertical parking. And I tell him, yeah, they do it all the time. He says, well, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to have a place where you're pulling into a place and backing out onto Highway 12 for business. They can have vertical or they can have parallel parking out there all day long, but you can't have it to where they pull in. And so he was the one that suggested put your delineator post going all the way down the side of your trail to make it so where they could just have the parallel parking.
So you're saying that where do you want the post start?
So the fence that comes up along, so you got the entrance of the lodge. As soon as the fence comes in right there, the trail will be right next to that fence going all the way up along and meeting back up with right there by the fire hydrant, right past the lodge. Sure.
And I guess I know that I've said it before, and I think maybe it's also because I'm a very visual, but I think it would be to our benefit for me and for the public when we do things is to have like a map drawn out with this shown. So it makes sense. So there's less confusion. So you don't have people like Blake that thinks, oh, this is stopping this or doing this. And there's not like, oh, what is it that they're doing? It's just really concrete. And whether it's like a couple sentence write up and a map, just so we have an idea, it would make me understand it. Cause I still didn't understand it. And I've been at every meeting that it's been discussed, you know, and I do. And I, you know, I think being able to walk there, like Gladys suggested, of having you go down and walk Dave and Blake would be really beneficial for them as business owners. But I think for the general, I mean, for me especially, I'm like, I keep being like, where exactly are you talking and where do you want it? And it would be helpful.
Maybe you should make a time that that you're going to meet with Blake or Dave Mock and let somebody on let the town board know if we want to come.
Yeah, if you tell me, I mean, who knows the timing, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, no problem. No problem at all.
Okay, that it?
Thank you for explaining. I know you've explained it before.
No problem.
But I didn't remember.
And that's really the only place that just pushes people out into the middle of Highway 12.
Yeah.
That's the only reason that it's even a...
But they're supposed to be parking this way, not
and
this
not
way.
And not pulling into the fence itself.
Can't we do some signage? I mean, I know we have all these restrictions on signs, but some, you know, like Camille's got signs somewhere that say...
No parallel parking.
Yeah, only... No parallel parking. No
parallel
parking.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, and I do think... It is our responsibility to support the businesses. And so I think it's important for them to know we're doing this to support you and to support the safety of the community. But even if it's okay, UDOT saying we can't have a landscape agreement, right, until after the resolution, it seems to me that it also makes sense for like, okay, it can't be an official agreement, but we can come up with like a landscape plan or
and that's what they want us to do. It's going to be our landscape.
What we can do is make a little bit of like a real bare minimum plan to present so we can see that it goes with the resolution so we kind of know where we're headed. Because to me, without knowing the, I get the order for UDOT is they need the resolution to get the plan, right? But to me, it makes more sense that you have a plan so you know what the resolution is supporting. Because otherwise, I'm like, what's the resolution?
The resolution, all it's saying is you can't park on that trail to make it safe for the guests. I mean, there's nothing hidden in that resolution.
Yeah, I didn't think there was any. I mean, it does, and that's part of it. It doesn't really say much. And so I'm like, what's it going to? So
it's just so people don't park on the trail. And once they put the railroad ties in, if they didn't put the linear, whatever they're linear called, post. They didn't put those in, they'd be driving over the railroad.
They park right in front of the lodge has a no parking sign out in front of it right now. And I took a picture the other day of a big old huge motorhome parked right directly in front of the no parking sign there. And I'm just like, it doesn't matter what you do. You can like the stop sign on the Birchall Highway 12. Stop sign sits out there. Yeah. I was out there talking to the engineers the other day. I watched six locals. I'm not gonna say who it was. Six locals not even stop. Stop like boom. I was like, nope, there's a stop sign there. Nobody see, like nobody reads the sign.
It would be helpful to me at least. And so like I said, it's not like the end final plan, but just kind of the general idea of what's going on. I think
maybe at the next meeting then, if you get with Dave Mock and talk to them, okay, then next. Just draw up a little thing. We can put it up there, show them what this is where the trail is, that the resolution is addressing. Then we can vote on it and get it because it's really
fun. I'm happy to help with the making that. If you explain to me what I'm
perfect, doing. I will explain to you.
I can,
all right,
I can build a building. I can't do that.
Let's do the check. Should we? Are we done? Are we done with that?
Yeah. He handed them to me.
Did you have a comment on that, John? I thought I saw your hand up, but then I saw it go down. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Get it.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Then that way we can put it up. Everybody can see it and know what we're talking about. Okay. Take a look at the check, see what you think. We can discuss it. We'll vote on it at our meeting.
That's awesome.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's the copy machine. It looks okay to me.
They all look pretty standard.
You guys, any questions?
I saw the info list that made me think of it, even though that's not it. Did we ever learn anything more about the new? Everything was finalized at the last meeting about the internet charger.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We got the bill. Judy and I got it today and about, I fainted. Yeah, well, and then it was hard to read the South Central thing, just the way that they have it and roll it over to the other page and everything. So I sat there, made up my mind I was going to get it down. And so we've got, so the internet is running $174 a month, but I don't think that's it. I think that was the $174 included modem. Included the modem. Because even, I mean, ours, the office's internet is only $95. Theirs is $174.
That's phone and internet, $95.
No, that's the internet.
That's just internet?
Yeah. And the libraries is $174, but that's because it's public. Yeah. And then, so when I saw this one, I thought, wow. And I went to call them today, but you get put on hold, and I didn't have time to wait.
Yeah, I didn't put it on. It just made me think of it.
But I will. I'll find out, because I really want to make sure that
we can get a little bit of an update.
Okay, yeah.
So these checks we're going to approve?
Yeah, we'll approve those at our special meeting.
I don't have any problem giving them.
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay. Department report. Glad it's going to start.
I wonder, has the front door been fixed? Corey was going to fix the lock.
Okay, good. Okay. It's still getting a little wonky. It's still a lot better.
Is this tight to the lock?
Yeah, but it, you can feel like there's something in there that might be loosening a little again. But I mean, it's a lot better.
You can get some of that silicone graphite spray and spray it in the locks, and we'll help out with that.
We'll try.
Because it's the tumblers getting dirty.
Yeah, okay.
It's all the sanding stuff.
But when he first did it, it was awesome. But okay. I can now you can just kind of feel that, you know, it's getting not dark. Like it was, but.
Okay.
It's like your car, you know, when something's not, you know.
That's the only thing I have, unless somebody has something else.
Okay. All right. You want to, well, let's get Steve first. He hasn't had much to say. And Steve, I will have the resolution for the park committee next month. It was just too much to do this month with the holidays and everything that went on.
No, that's fine. I know that you wanted to know who was going to rotate off when. And frankly, we have not met. I think Tina Carlson is done. So I need to call a meeting and get that information and anything else that maybe we need to know.
Okay, do that. And then we'll get the resolution for February. So, okay, is that it?
That's it.
Okay, glad you're feeling better and happy new year. Gladys.
No, nothing else. Unless, you know, travel council are starting meetings again, but so far I don't have anything exciting.
Okay. Elizabeth?
Let's see, the library hours are going to remain the same for Wednesdays, 11 to 1, and the hours have changed for Saturdays. They're going to be 10 to 12 noon. And they're going to continue to do hot drinks and baked goods available for purchase on Saturdays through the winter. The Boulder Arts Council has the current holiday exhibit out, but their new exhibit will come up next Thursday, and it's an artist from Escalante, Iret Reed. Am I saying the first name correctly? They're having a board meeting next week to plan for the year. So if anyone in the community has ideas, they should talk to a board member. Let's see, Planning Commission. There are no new applications to be reviewed or public hearings coming up that I'm aware of. They approved the Meadowlark subdivision preliminary application and will transfer the paperwork to the town as soon as the I think the zoning administrator and the town is working on resolving the definition of the Lower Boulder Road. The PC will be welcoming new full member Shelley Price Gibson and the new alternate Nancy Tosta. This coming meeting next week. Their housing work groups are proceeding and they're working towards being able to share stuff in the March meeting. They're working on there's some housing things, both the work groups, working with the school community council, and also working on possibly changing some ordinances to make housing easier for locals. And that's all I have. John's here, so if I miss something.
Good.
And no one in the library, so I think that's all I have.
Okay, Darren?
The dump, still waiting on
lights.
I don't know who else to contact. I called a couple other places and they told me they were not interested, period. In Boulder, they didn't care. So that was, yeah, there was out of Richfield, one out of Cedar City, and they're just like, no, you guys are too far. The EMS, we had a rollover a couple nights ago up on the mountain at like, was it 9 o'clock at night, something like that, 9:30 at night. It was a local from Wayne County. Didn't get hurt, walked away, took a tree through the car, walked away. Fire department responded like the little bad people that they are. Roads, I just had the for the safety for the trees and that. So other than that, I don't have anything else.
Okay. Very good. I don't really have anything.
I didn't get to the county meeting, so.
And it was a dinner. It was their dinner anyway. So they have this kind of business is what they normally do. Unless there's an emergency. I think that's it. All right. So you don't want any girls got anything? Okay, very good. All right, let's go into our public comments.
No Zoom.
No Zoom. Anybody here?
I'm
Say your name and scream.
Cindy Wilson, speaking about stop signs, there's that one over by the post office and nobody stops at. I stop at it. But it seems like it should be trimmed away. You know, there's a lot of brush there in that stop sign.
Yeah.
I think the people not see it.
Is that the one on 12 right there?
No, the one between 12 Lowe's old house.
It's hard as it used to be.
Right next to the town, right next to the post office. That, the stop sign is right there.
Okay.
Those bushes are coming out and growing out in front of us.
Never seen a happy tree.
I haven't seen it.
It's all brush covered right there. And so it's, I'm working at the crosswalk for the park and a stop sign right there that nobody stops at. You know, somebody's going to get hit by a car one day. Because I think people don't notice the stop sign because of all the brush around the stop sign lot there.
Can we do that at the same time?
And I don't know if we can ever coordinate with Greg Gardner to say,
we can just have.
There's some people over who don't stop the stop sign. He can just give warning tickets, but it's just something can get whacked. You've got a pedestrian walkway and a stop sign, nobody stops there. Because you can't see it.
Okay.
That's all I want to say.
He's going to take care of it. Thank you.
Scott Barry sent a chat earlier, but he was saying, speaking for Boulder Mountain Lodge, I appreciate the clarification that resolution number 2023-01 would only prohibit parking on the actual trail in such a way as to block use of the trail, not prohibit parking on off the road border of Highway 12, as long as the parking does not block passage along the trail. Thank you for including me in this.
Hey, okay, cool. All right, anybody else? All right, let's move on to February's business. So I put the tree committee down.
Well, it's like voting on all these things.
I say, so is that February or is,
oh, well,
is that coming in the end of January?
Emergency. Right. So do we do all of these things in the emergency meeting? I feel like we should just have the emergency meeting only be the annual meeting schedule and, if necessary, the posting of the job. I mean, I don't think it should be a long meeting. I think it should be like a 10-minute thing.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, we already just cited the annual meeting schedule, so all we have to do is meet to approve it. It's a 5-minute thing.
So we have to do the schedule,
what to do.
Well, we have to approve the agenda on it, the special meeting. We have to approve the
The minutes. Well,
yeah. The minutes could be in
February. We can do all of that in February.
Right.
Everything on here except for, and the only reason, and we should double check, because if the annual meeting schedule isn't due to the state before our February meeting, then we don't need a special meeting. We only need a special meeting if that is due to the state.
I'll find out.
And that. It's just determining that.
So if we do anything on here before, if we approve anything on here in a special meeting, we have to approve the agenda first?
Yeah. I mean,
in the next meeting?
No.
Okay. That's why I was confused. Okay.
No, because outside of this meeting, you would call a special meeting and let people know as soon as possible, but at least 24 hours in all the appropriate places, and just specifically say what that is.
Well, I would check if we don't have to have it before
February, there's no sense. Do by February.
I'll check on that.
And I think
setting the annual meetings.
Yeah, and that's the only one. It's whenever that's due. And if we can get away with doing it in February, then we should. But if not, we should have a special meeting for 10 minutes.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. That looks like the only one. And we can do all the rest because we pretty well have said what we want to do. So.
And you wanted the training auditor stuff done for the next meeting, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before February.
Okay. Send a reminder.
All right. That's on.
Don't read.
I move.
I have Judy. Can I ask a question?
Waiting over there.
Oh, gosh.
I'm wondering about posting the notice for town clerk, and I'm wondering about that.
That's really true.
So that's one we could have a special meeting for.
The town posting the meeting for the town clerk. I'll wait till February to do that.
I didn't hear what you said.
I said I'd hate to wait till February. Well, we could do the two things.
Yeah, those two things make would it a be quick pretty thing. Easy.
Yeah, because we can just make it a Zoom meeting.
Do a Zoom only meeting like we did for the, you know, what do we do at 4th of July something?
And the insurance. So, yeah. Pegwidge, are you in town?
Yes, I'm in town until the very last week of January. I have to go up to Salt Lake, but yes, I'm in town.
What day, when would you guys like to do it?
Sooner the better.
Before the end of January for me.
Do we want to just do a half hour meeting, the half hour before planning commission next week, 6:30?
Oh, that might work. We could do that. How about that, Peg?
Yeah, if you promise to be done by 6:45, yes.
Yeah,
we've only got the two things.
So if we just do 6:30, and we say ours is Zoom only.
Yeah.
And then if people want.
Cool.
Well, we'll be here setting up for that meeting anyway. So, just.
Lexi recommended 6:15 just for timing purposes, just to be polite to the planning commission. So and then can we get it posted right away and just do those two things?
Sure.
Works so that way you give people as much notice as possible. But no one's going to come, but.
So the two things, it'll be the.
It's the annual, setting the annual meeting
and the clerk's position.
Yeah, the clerk's position.
So how about if I set up a special Zoom meeting that would be used for both that meeting as well as planning, so it's not two separate.
Perfect. That sounds great.
Okay.
And so we'll make it at what? What time?
6:15.
Okay.
Is what I heard. 6:15.
Yeah, 6:15, right?
Make a note.
Okay. All right.
And that'll be Thursday, the 12th. The 12th of January.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then that way it can
make a call. You're done.
All right, well,
can
we vote to adjourn?
No, we're just going to adjourn.
We're just going to leave.
You just get to leave.
Cool.
But I think Judy gave us these. But in case anyone else, the annual conflict of interest disclosure form.
Yeah.
Jimmy,
I actually said it.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't look at my packet because I printed stuff. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Judy, do you by chance have mine from last year?
You want to get together sometime? Let me know.
Okay.